بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. We talked about the fourth dimension of Tawheed, and that is Tawheed in respect to worship. If we want to be more precise, there are two very close concepts, and sometimes people may take them identical, but these are different. One is to believe that there is only one being, only one thing which is worthy being worshipped. You may know that in Arabic the term Allah means something which is worshipped or something which is qualified to be worshipped. So La ilaha illallah means there is nothing in the whole world that deserves to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So this is one aspect, and that is, I repeat, to believe that it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who deserves, who is qualified, who worth being worshipped. The second thing is actually worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. So sometimes people may believe in Tawheed in respect to worship in theory. So they may say, okay, I only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there is no reason I should worship gods other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in practice, the same person may be worshipping other things. And if this is deliberately done, consciously done, so this person is unbeliever. This person is not a mu'min. And if this is not deliberately done, this is what we call it hidden polytheism, ash-shirk al-khafi. For example, there are many believers, good mu'mineen, but still these people may have some sort of respect, obedience, humbleness in front of people. People who have money, people who have positions, or whatsoever. I may, for example, meet a person who is very high in, you know, official rank. For example, a minister or president. And I may start, you know, praising him, saying something that is not only is not for anything other than just making me closer to him. Or I see a very rich person. Then I leave my friends and the poor people and go and next sit next to that rich person and admire him. I may be a mu'min, but somehow I suffer from shirk. This is hidden polytheism, this is hidden shirk. Why? Because inside my heart I feel that this rich person is somehow able to change my life, to change my destiny. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not be pleased with. I think that if, for example, I continue my ordinary way of treatment and conduct, I may lose something. But by pleasing this person, I may gain something. So, in other words, I am thinking that gain and loss is in hand of this person. Okay? This is a kind of shirk. But because this is not something that we deliberately do, so still we are considered as Muslim, as mu'min, but still this is a deficiency in our heart. This is a sign of imperfection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. The majority of these people do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless they are also associating other people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time that they are believers, they are mushrik. But this is hidden shirk. Or another example. If, for example, someone is praying, saying his prayer, then he realizes that someone enters the same place. So he says, okay, let me prolong my prayer. Let me say it more beautifully, with good pronunciation and everything, so that this person praises me. Okay? This is to show off. This is riya. This is also a hidden shirk. This person is not idol worshipper in its literal sense. He is not going to any, you know, places of keeping idols. But still, this is shirk. It said that someone was saying his prayer and then people started praising him. MashaAllah. Look at his presence of heart. How humble he is. How attentive he is to his prayer. How beautifully he says his prayer. He said, still you don't know that I am also fasting. It's not just that I am praying. I am also fasting. So this is something that happened to many people. And we have in hadith that to be able to recognize the purity or impurity of your intention is like being able to recognize movement of a black ant on a black rock in a dark night. If there is a black ant on a black rock in dark night, how can you recognize the movement of that ant? Riya is so difficult. Okay. So, the point is to refer to Tawheed in worship, first of all, as some belief, as some doctrine. And that is to say that it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who deserves to be worshipped. And second, to try in practice to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. You cannot deliberately worship. You cannot, you know, formally worship any other beings. But as I said, sometimes there may be failures even in the conduct of mu'mineen, but they don't believe that they should worship these things. It's just because of their failure and they themselves regret. This is hidden shirk, and this person is still to be considered as a mu'min. There are many verses in the Quran which talks about Tawheed in respect to worship, and this particular aspect of Tawheed is very important. And as I said yesterday, this is the bottom line of Tawheed. The bottom line of Tawheed is this. If someone believes in all previous kinds of Tawheed, Tawheed in respect to divine essence, divine attributes, divine acts, but does not believe in this, that person is not considered as Muwahhid, as monotheist. This is the bottom line. Okay, you remember what we said about Iblis. I would like to refer to some verses of the Quran, just as samples, to see how important it is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. In Surah An-Nahl, the B, number 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. Allah says this is a general way of sending messages to the people, sending prophets. This is not for Muslims. This has happened to all nations, that Allah sends to every nation an apostle, a messenger, to tell them, "Ubudullah, worship Allah, wajtanibu taghut, not worship any arrogant, any evil person or being." Taghut literally means someone who has ignored his own limits and has gone out of his limits and has tried to be superior to other people, other beings, and to claim those power and authority that he does not have. This is the meaning of taghut. So to worship Allah is linked to refraining from these people, or above all Iblis, but it's not just Iblis. So this is a message that has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all nations through apostles. لَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ. In every nation we have sent an apostle to tell them to worship Allah. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, chapter Anbiya, the Prophets, number 25, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. Again, I recited this verse because this is also an indication of universality of this message. Allah says, we have not sent before you. This is addressing the Prophet. We have not sent before you any apostle unless we have revealed to that apostle that there is no one who is worthy being worshipped except me. Do worship me. La ilaha illa ana. Allah, as I said, means someone that is worthy being worshipped, not something which is worshipped, because there are many things which are worshipped. The whole point is whether they are to be worshipped or not. Otherwise, idols are all worshipped. Some animals are worshipped. La ilaha illallah doesn't mean that nothing is worshipped other than God, because these things are actually worshipped. It means nothing is worthy being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see, again, this ayah says that this is a general message, a universal message of all prophets. And this is why we believe that Tawheed is, or any group of religious people, Tawheed is inclusive. Tawheed is a message for all the prophets. And of course, the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is considered as father of monotheism, because all Abrahamic faiths, which are great religions of the world today, Islam and Christianity, and also Judaism. Of course, Judaism has not that much followers in number, but still it's very important because it forms the history and the context for Christianity. All follow somehow Ibrahim alayhi salam, and this is why Ibrahim is very important in the history of Tawheed. But Tawheed even was before Ibrahim, starting from Adam alayhi salam, and including all prophets till the time of Ibrahim, and then afterwards Tawheed was always there. Then there are some verses that mentions this in respect to particular prophets. For example, In Surah Al-A'raf, number 59, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. What they call in English, Nuh. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. We have sent Nuh to his people, to his nation. فَقَالْ. Then Nuh told to his people, يَا قَوْمْ اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. My nation, my people, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. There is no God for you. There is no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you should worship. It's only Allah that you must worship. So this is specifically about Nuh. So we have general and universal verses, and we have verses about particular prophets. And a very beautiful ayah is this ayah. In Surah Al-Ankabut, spider number 56, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi alladhina amanu. If you want to connect, you say, Ya ibadi alladhina amanu. Inna ardi wasa'ah fa'iyyaya fa'abudun. Allah says, O my servants who believe. Oh my servants who believe. Because there are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who do not believe. All human beings are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But some refuse to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, Ya ibadi alladhina amanu. Okay? So you may be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but a disobedient servant. And this is why Imam Kazim alayhi salam, when he was passing by the house of Bush, when Imam saw that this house, you know, is very noisy and noise of music and dancing and singing is coming out, Imam knocked the door. And a maid came out and Imam said, Is the owner of this house or the landlord a free person or a slave? She said, of course. Not only he is free, but he had many slaves and many servants to serve him. And Imam said, yes, it must be so. Because if he was a servant, if he was a slave, he would not have practiced like this. And Imam meant that if he knew that he is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he would have obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when she went back, because there was, you know, some delay, so Besh asked her, what happened? And she said, I had a very strange conversation with someone who asked me this very funny question. And I said, of course my landlord, my master is free. And he got the point, and you know what happened. Immediately he changed, and without even spending any time to wear his shoes, to put on his shoes, he went out to the street to find the Imam. And he became one of the most pious people of his time. So Allah says, Ya ibadi alladhina amanu, O servants of mine who have believed in me, who have realized that they are servants. إِنَّ ذِي وَاسِعَةٌ فَإِيَّايَ فَعْبُدُونَ. My land is great. It's very big. So only worship me. What does it mean? It means that it's not an excuse to say that because we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's okay, even if we do not practice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the environment. Because, you know, there were some people, and still maybe you find this, that they live in some settings, some environments in which they are not allowed to practice their faith. So, These people, to justify their shortcomings, they say, we are not living in, for example, Muslim state, in Islamic country. We are not living in Mecca or Medina. So this is why we have not been able to practice properly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my land is great. If you cannot practice in this part of my land, you can migrate to another part of my land. And this is what we have in another ayah. الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. Some people, when they die, when the angels receive their spirit, the angels see that these people have been unjust to themselves, have oppressed themselves. It means that they have not flourished. They have not achieved any spiritual gifts. Okay? This is very beautiful. The first thing that these angels notice is that these people have been doing unjust injustice to themselves. ظَالِمِ أَنفُسَهِمْ. So the angels tell them, فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ. What was your situation? In which situation you were living? Where were you living? These people reply, كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We were weakened in our faith on the earth. People were not giving us freedom. They were not giving us respect. We were frightened of our faith. We couldn't practice properly. So the angels would tell them, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسْعَةً. Was not the land of Allah so great that you could migrate to another place to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly? So this is not an excuse. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَرْضِي وَاسَعَةً فَإِيَّايَ فَعْبُدُونَ. So even if the people who are around you do not encourage you, do not praise you because you are Muslims, this is not an excuse. If you can practice your faith while you are there, that's great. And I would like here to mention the point that, but you know what I said does not mean that Muslims who live in non-Islamic countries should all migrate to Islamic, you know, countries. No, that was the general rule. The general rule is this: if you live in some environments in which you cannot practice Islam properly, they stop you, then you have to migrate to somewhere that you can practice Islam properly. But alhamdulillah, Islam is so easy to practice, especially in the school of Ahlul Bayt, that normally you can practice your faith wherever you live, unless you are in very, very, you know, difficult circumstances. So I believe that those Muslims who live, for example, in the West, there's no reason, you know, that they leave the West unless in special circumstances, you know, for example, for a short period of time they want to train themselves or their children or whatever. But generally, if they are strong in their faith, if they have good community, if they have good relation with ulamas and Islamic centers, they can practice Islam properly. And on the other hand, there may be some Muslims who live in some Islamic, so-called Islamic countries, and they may not be able to practice their faith. So it's not the case that every Islamic state is really Islamic. So my point is not to encourage people to migrate. My point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there is one criteria. One criterion. You should consider that. Are you able to practice your faith or not? If you are able to practice, okay, go on with your life. If you are not able to practice, you cannot say, because I lived in that society or, you know, my community was not good or the state law was not good, I couldn't practice. Because, you know, migration is a very important thing. And you must be prepared for every cause for your faith, even if it is migration. Because migration is, you know, many of you, I know that particularly you have this experience, that migration is a very difficult thing. It's a very big change in the life. But Allah says you must be prepared for that if it's really needed. Anyway, the final verse which I would like to recite is this verse. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا يأمركم أن تتخذوا الملائكة والنبيين أربابا أيأمركم بالكفر بعد إذ أنتم مسلمون. Not only we should not worship idols, we should not take as our masters people who are worthy. Even the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the angels are not to be taken as our lords or masters, or, you know, worship them. Allah says, لا يأمركم أن تتخذوا الملائكة والنبيين أربابا. So you cannot take as your lord even Prophet Isa alayhi salam, or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, great angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot do this. Because sometimes people who have somehow believed, they suffer from another kind of polytheism, another kind of shirk. Instead of worshipping idols, they worship good people. And we also must be, followers of Ahlul Bayt, must be careful. Sometimes you may hear from some uneducated people that they say something which can be misunderstood and may, you know, be taken as somehow we worship Ahlul Bayt or we worship the Prophet or Lady Fatima. And as every simple, you know, Shia knows, this is totally wrong. But some people, you know, sometimes may use some words, some statements when they are very emotional, when they are very excited, when they don't know what they say, and this is totally wrong. And I think on the Day of Judgment, the first people who blame these people are the Ahlul Bayt themselves. Because this is a dishonor for any person to be taken as a master. That person will feel terribly bad in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like for example, Prophet Isa alayhi salam. The Prophet Isa alayhi salam is not happy that millions of people or billions of people believe that he is God. He feels terrible. Why? Because he is so humble and so aware of his weakness and dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when he sees people in his name believe in Trinity, he feels, you know, ashamed. So on the Day of Judgment, Ahlul Bayt would be the first people to blame these people. And if you look at Ahadith, you would realize that Ahlul Bayt had two different policies. And today you see this also in our ulama, our great ulama. First, always encouraging the Shia to have good relation with their fellow Muslims, with Sunni brothers and sisters. They always encourage them to have these good relations, to visit them when they are ill, to attend their funeral, to attend their prayer. Many, many hadiths on this subject. On the other hand, they were very severe against zealots, against those who were exaggerating. They cursed them, and sometimes they punished them, and sometimes they wished if they, these people were punished and executed. Two different policies. to be soft, kind towards Sunni brothers and sisters, and to be very severe against those people who call themselves followers of Ahlul Bayt, but they destroy the Mazhab. Unfortunately, sometimes we are quite opposite. We promote these people who are exaggerating, who are zealots, and we fight against our fellow Muslims and brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, this is not the case about the majority, but you know, you find some minorities. Overall today, alhamdulillah, all the people in the world are witnessing that how Shia are able to control themselves, and though many Shia are being killed, by executed in Iraq, in Afghanistan, but they don't go for revenge, because they know that there is no point in this, you know, sectarian, you know, fight. So the majority is okay, but just I wanted to stress on this fact that we should be very careful, first of all, about our statements, about our majalis, about our sessions, of whether it is for mourning or for happy occasions. We must be very careful about what we say. And today, people do not just read your books. They listen to your majalis. And many majalis are live, are online, or later they will be put on internet. So we are taken responsible for whatever a zakir or zakira or a speaker, you know, says. All our mazhab would be somehow, although it's not a good way of, you know, judgment, but somehow people judge our mazhab according to these sayings, and we put these things on our websites. Okay, so we must be very careful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that even you are not allowed to worship angels or prophets. And this is the message that we have taken. You do not worship anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad is the most beloved person for us, but we don't worship him. Our imams are beloved, but we don't worship them. So why some ignorant people should say something that causes misunderstanding and confusion? So this is also a message that we can take from this ayah. Okay. Just I summarize what I have been saying in these four sessions, and inshallah we will finish because this is our final session. First of all, we talked about the significance of Tawheed. And we said that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started his message and mission, he was frequently saying, قُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلَحُ. Say, there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one who is worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will be happy. You will have the salvation. So it means that Tawheed is the key for every fortune, every good, you know, outcomes and ends that you are looking for. Of course, Tawheed has some consequences. And I referred to the war of Mal and said that Imam Ali said that we are fighting with these people for Tawheed. So the difference between Imam Ali and the people on the other side was in the end because of their understanding of Tawheed. And also I mentioned the hadith of Imam Reza alayhi salam. كَلِمَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ حِسْنِي فَمَنْ دَخَلَ حِسْنِي أَمِنَ مِنْ عَذَابِي. But then Imam said there are conditions for that. And one condition is me, to believe in the qualified Imam of your time. So we talked about the significance of Tawheed, and then we said there are different classifications of Tawheed, but a very typical and a standard one is to divide it into four types. One is Tawheed in respect to divine essence. And he said, this does not just mean there is only one God. Because one can be used in different ways. You remember that Imam Ali said to that man, that there are four senses in which Tawheed can be used. Two are wrong, two are right. Okay? So we said, we mean by Tawheed, in respect to divine essence, that there is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can be compared to Him, likened to Him. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no second or third can be imagined. Not only there is no other God, but even more, nothing can be imagined to be next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a second or third God. And then we said that Allah has no parts. Then in respect to divine attributes, we said that all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are attributes of perfection. We may express it directly or indirectly, in positive way or negative way. But in the end, all are attributes which show the perfection. And we said these are not something accidental to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that Allah has acquired from outside. These are something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has by His very essence. And this is why we can say Allah is knowledge. Not only He has knowledge, but He is knowledge. Not only He has power, He is power. Not only He is living, He has life, He is life. So we talked about this, and we talked about Tawheed in respect to divine acts, and we also clarified some questions regarding freedom of human beings and determinism, and also whether we are responsible for our bad acts or not. We talked about that. And finally, we talked about Tawheed in respect to worship. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, to enlighten our hearts and our minds to better understand Islam, and inshallah, to fully practice Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Yeah, the same hadith says, فَخَلَقْتُ الْخَلْقِ لِكَيْ or just the Prophet knowing him. Allah wanted to give opportunity to great number of creatures to know him. Because خَلْق means people. And this is not only this hadith. Above that we have Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ending, you know, part of Surah At-Talaq, says that Allah is the one خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتٍ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ. He has created seven heavens and seven earth. يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنَّ. And Allah's affairs are going up and down between sky and heaven. Why? لَتَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Allah has created all this world so that you know that He is powerful, all-powerful, and He knows everything. Because by knowing these things, you can be inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resemble Him, to somehow get closer to Him. So it's important that we also know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, there are different levels of knowledge. All the people cannot know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the Prophet Muhammad. We don't expect to know Allah subhanahu like him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there is no limit for us. As much as, you know, you go higher and higher, you can know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there will be no, you know, barrier. There will be no stop point that say, okay, now you must stop. You are becoming too clever. No one stops you. All creation is to help you and facilitate this journey for you. So you can go and fly in this sky of knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, thank you.